Well, it's good to be home, another home. I got a lot of homes, and it's good to be back, and it seems like it's been forever. It's been a long time, and it's good to be here tonight and be with friends, and God is good, God is faithful, and I'm so thankful for that. Anybody here tonight just feel like you're at the end of your rope? Just feel like you come to the place like, this is it. If one more thing happens, if I get one more bill in the mail, hello, if I get one more call, I'm at the end, I'm at the end of the rope. And I like what a minister friend of mine, he's done been gone to be with the Lord for many years, but he always said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in the end and hold on. You see, if there's no knot in the end, I never had a lot. I used to watch the kids at school because I could never do it, you know. They'd get on the monkey bars, and they'd walk across there, you know, and then they'd get a hold of a rope. And no, this little fat girl never could do none of that stuff. But I've watched them as they'd get a hold of a rope, and just after so long, Brother Gary, their hands start sliding down. Some of them could hold on a long time, but eventually their hands get tired, the weight of their body, and their hands start sliding down, and there's nothing to get a hold of. But if you can tie a knot in the end, your hands will just go down so far, and then you got something to stop you. Aren't you glad that sometimes God's the knot in our rope? I'm glad he's the knot. And I don't know what key I sing it in, so we'll try it wherever. A woman in the Bible days, her last meal almost gone. But God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today. And before you even ask him, help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Troubles of this life come by and burdens get you down. You think no one is on the way. And just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on.
I got a problem. let me get up here and get situated, okay?
You're going to do what Brandon says? I'm going to make sure you hear that. He just don't want to get dressed and come up here. That's the problem. I don't know whether I'll do this. Well, I ought to be worth it. Praise the Lord. Anyways, you call 911 and say, hey, help, I'm falling and I can't get up, you know? And they may tell you, well, hold on, we'll be there in just a little bit. But you don't see them right then. You don't see them. By faith, you believe and trust that because they said they're on the way, that eventually help's going to come. And sometimes you have to wait on it. But it's on its way. And so sometimes in life it's that way. We call on the Lord and we say, Lord, I need help. And you don't see it right away. But hold on just a little bit longer. Hey, Sister Deborah, help is on the way. All right, I will try to hurry through this as quick as I can because I know you y'all wanting to get out here and go eat supper, aren't you? No. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about something the Lord laid on my heart today after Brother Hall asked me yesterday if I would bring something tonight, and I didn't really have any idea what it would be, but about 2 o'clock in the morning, this morning, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, I was up reading and praying and trying to find the will of God, and this is what I feel like, and it stayed with me all day and added to it, and I hope I haven't added so much that I can't get it all in, you know. But anyways, I want to ask you a question tonight. How salty are you? How salty are you? Now, let's read a couple of scriptures here and then try to go from there. And I have my little little prop wherever I can see it. My little light here. I got this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. That's my little light right there, and I want to use that tonight. And it was a very confirmation from the Lord in how. Come, I've got that with me. So, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. And most of us can quote these scriptures. We've heard them all of our life. But if the salt have lost his savor. Now, I want you to notice that word his. It didn't say its. If the salt has lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be, there it says it, shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Then I want to jump over to Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, another verse that goes along with that, that says, salt is good. Do I have any salt eaters here? Y'all, anybody here like salt? Some folks like, I like salt. I don't pour salt on. I don't like anything real salty, but I do like some salt on it. Brother Tony, I like some seasoning on it. I'm not a real big pepper eater. I eat a little bit of pepper, but I like some salt on my food. And my mother had high blood pressure, and she learned to live for years with no salt. Her eggs were bleh. I mean, bleh. You know, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, his saltiness, and here again is that word his. If the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. And so I want us to look for just a few minutes about salt and some of the attributes of salt and what salt does to us and for us. I remember years ago, my first husband worked in a plant and drove a forklift. And in Missouri, it would get so hot, and he would ride on top of that hot forklift all day long. And I remember sometimes when we would have those extreme, extreme hot summers, kind of like we've been having this year in Oklahoma, that they would actually put salt tablets out in the work lounge because they wanted them to their bodies to take in more salt. Now, there's several reasons for that, but one of those reasons is that it makes you thirsty, and if you're thirsty, you'll drink. And if you don't drink, you're going to dehydrate. And so one of the purposes of taking in salt is to cause you to want to take in fluid. It's like a cycle. They're trying to tell me I need to cut back on my salt. Now, it's a good thing that I'm not a heavy salt eater, but I want a little bit on there. And the reason they want me to cut back is because they don't want me to drink. I am a heavy drinker, okay? Now, y'all got that on record. I'm a heavy drinker. But it's either water or tea, one or the other, and occasional coffee. And I've cut way back on my coffee content. But they don't want me, you know, the doctors are saying we're used to, that now they're saying they want me to drink less than 2 liters of fluid a day. And I used to have that in by 9 o'clock. So it's been quite a challenge to me to cut back on that much fluid. I mean, Gordon, he may not want to admit it, but he has to admit, in driving and traveling, I have done a lot better on my fluid intake. So, he says. And so, along with that, they want me to cut back on my salt. You know, we all know, you know, salt causes hypertension, causes high blood pressure. And so they also want me to cut back on that salt, not only for that attribute or benefit, but I won't be as thirsty and won't want to drink as much. So salt, if you are salt, salt will attribute to making you thirsty. If you eat something with a lot of salt in it, it makes you thirsty and you want to drink more fluid to go with it. It also raises your blood pressure. We know that. Some folks, like I said, my mom learned to live without salt. I haven't learned quite that yet. And then another thing is that salt, and I started to say something to Brother Gordon today. He was in there canning tomatoes. And one thing that I learned in my early years years ago, I used to do a lot of canning, that salt is very important as a preservative. You need salt in your canning for a preservative. But what we don't sometimes know and realize that salt goes far beyond just those basic things that we know. And so I'm not as good as fluent as some people of reading things, but I did get some things down that I want to share with you, and I dare not trust my memory with them. And so you forgive me if I kind of glance down and read a little bit of this. But one of the primary ways salt, let me just go back and give a addendum to this or whatever. I looked up and was reading, and because the country of India is very consumed with using salt. Salt plays in Indian culture. Salt plays a very, very important part in their culture. And one of the primary ways that salt is used in healing is through purification and cleansing rituals. The practice often involves sprinkling or placing salt in specific areas, believing it absorbs impurities and negative vibrations. Now, I hope that while I'm reading some of this, that somebody will get an aha moment and think, oh, yeah, I think I can transfer that over spiritually. I haven't had salt and I'm thirsty, so forgive me for grabbing that. But it's believed that salt absorbs impurities and negative vibrations. I want you to get, I'm just praying you kind of get in a little bit of a spiritual thinking here. In several traditions, salt is placed on corners of the house or on the entrance to ward off negative energies. The age-old tradition of salt-based purification transcends generations, offering a tangible way to promote clarity, renewal, and spiritual well-being, making salt an integral element in the rituals and holistic practices around the world. And so if we go past that, and I'm going to come back and read something else to you in a minute, but that where he says, ye are the salt of the earth, I think a lot of times I've read that scripture and I've thought about that scripture and I've thought about that that he's saying that I'm the salt of the earth, that he's talking about the importance in it in my life. That how important it is for me to be the salt. But the real thing is, it's not that it's important for me to be the salt. It's important for you that I be the salt. It's important for you that I be salt. Because if I am not salty and I'm not able to make you thirsty, then you're not going to be wanting a drink of the living water. Somebody say amen. So the purpose, one of the purposes that I believe that he's trying to tell us that we are the salt of the earth is not for our benefit. Now, you need to be salt for me, okay? That's where I get my help from, is your salt, not for my salt. And so he's saying you are the salt of the earth. And if you've lost your savor, if you've lost your saltiness, what good are you? Wow. Think about that. If I have lost my saltiness, only one time in my life have I ever got a hold of salt that absolutely had lost its savor. Salt, you know, we know it just lasts forever. We think about lasting forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, table salt. But one time I got a hold of some salt. I don't know if we'd had it a long time or what, and I poured some of it out, and I went to take it. That doesn't have any. I don't taste the salt. I poured some more on. I didn't taste no salt. Finally, I just put it in my hand. And I licked it. That stuff didn't have any taste to it at all. And you know what I did with it? I threw it out. Maybe that could be tied back to what he said in Revelation, that I would that you'd be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but I think God is looking for a church and looking for individuals that are salty. Salty enough to make those around you thirsty. It just kind of got a hold to me this morning, and today I've been reading. I mean, I've looked at that scripture in a whole. He said, if the salt have lost his savor, and there again, I'm saying that, his savor. Who? You and I. If you and I have lost our savor, if you and I have lost our saltiness, then how are we going to be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I had looked up a site on here, and I was going to go to show you the picture, but I'm not going to. But I was reading, and it was, again, it was about some Indian culture. And this is what, I'm just reading down through there, and I come across this article and a picture. And it said, Himalayan salt lamps made from pink Himalayan salt crystals have gained popularity for their potential healing properties. Advocates claim that these lamps emit ions that neutralize negative energy, thus enhancing mood, reducing stress, and improving indoor air quality. While scientific evidence is still inconclusive, many individuals find comfort and relaxation in the warm, soothing glow of these salt lamps. And I promise, and I can show you the website. I'm sorry, my throat is really having trouble right now. I can take you to it. I can show you after a while. When I read that, there was a picture of this lamp. There was a picture of this very lamp. And I looked at that, and I looked over next to me, and this little lamp was sitting on a little Brenda and Gordon have it on a little table in the bedroom where I stay. I thought, I didn't know that was a Himalayan salt lamp. Did you know that? You knew it. See, I didn't know that. I just thought it was a pretty rock. I didn't know what it was. But it's actually, this is Himalayan salt. And it's a salt lamp. Then I got to think about this. Brother Paul will appreciate this. It says, advocates claim that, and I read this, that these lamps, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this. Brandon, don't listen. Advocates claim that these lamps emit ions that neutralize negative energy, thus enhancing mood, reducing stress, and improving indoor air quality. And I got to thinking, we need to have a fundraiser and make sure every person in the church has one of these to take home with them. Can you imagine what it would be like if it enhanced everybody's mood in the church and it reduced stress? Well, the pastor needs three of them, don't he? Reduced stress and improved indoor air quality. I'm telling you, I was just amazed by that, thinking about that. Because when we think of salt, we just think of the salt shaker and the egg or whatever, if you... you know, that you put your salt on, and we mostly think of it as something about us. About us. And the purpose that I believe that he is saying and that he's trying to get across in this teaching is it's not about the benefit for you. So many things, I feel like, that in the Christian life, in our Christian walk, we have been misguided and we have misinterpreted, thinking that it is things that we're supposed to do and things that God requires of us, things that God asks of us to do and be. And so we think it's to make us a better person. But it's really not. It's to make somebody else a better person. The salt in my life, I can remember as a little girl, my daddy worked on a turkey farm, and they had some cows down there, and they had them big old salt rocks. Anybody been on salt lick? That what they call them? Salt lick, I think. Anyway, there's a big old thing of salt for the cows to go by and lick. And as a little girl, we loved to go chip a piece of that off and lick that salt, you know? I can remember doing that, liking that salt. But so many times we think about those things in our life that it's, if I don't have enough salt in my life, then, you know, it's I'm the one that's going to suffer for it. Well, yes, you are ultimately going to, because you are going to be of no heavenly value or benefit to the kingdom. But essentially, the purpose that he's trying to say here, that you need to be salty, is for somebody else. And I just repeat myself a lot. I know I do that because I just kind of, you know, goes back to my teaching days, I guess, in school. If I say it long enough, surely somebody's going to get a hold of this eventually, you know. If you say 3 times 3 equals 9 about 15 times, somebody on the front row is going to finally figure out, oh, 3 times 3 is 9. Or you hope that they do. And sometimes it's that way with teaching and preaching. If you say it enough times, maybe somebody close. I'll try. Maybe if I spit on you just right whenever I'm saying. That actually happened to me last week. We were at convention in St. Louis, and there was a well-known preacher, pretty important preacher, got up and started talking to me, and I mean, he spit right in my face. I mean, I will never forget him. I will ever forget him. You know, I'm trying to get you to remember it without having to spit in your face, you know. So you want to take notes and remember what I'm saying, because there'll be a pop quiz later. No. No, it didn't help my sing. Didn't help a bit. But it's about God wanting you to be in a place, in a position to draw others, to make them thirsty. Now, let me just go a little step farther with that. What good is it going to do to make them thirsty if you don't ever present them with the means of getting a drink?
We have to be able to provide that also. And so many times, we limit. We limit, well, I can do this, but not this. Or, well, if I get by, I can get by with just this. And it's like a progression. God wants you and I, he says, you are. Is that what it says? Does it say you could be? Does it say, I wish that you were? No. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. That means good and bad. Whether you're doing what you're supposed to do or not. Whether you're living up to your potential or not. You are still the salt of the earth. And if you've lost your savor, then nothing else around you is going to be salted. In fact, you're good for nothing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be, some folks is, you know, good, but they're just good for nothing. And I want to be good, but I want to be good for something, not good for nothing. I want to live in such a way that the saltiness in my life, the salt in my life, is a reflection of the love of God in such a way that when I come in contact with people, Brother Gary, that it makes them want to know a little bit more about him. I'm just going to say, shame on me, shame on you. If you've been going through the same checkout at Walmart or HEB for 10 years and seeing the same little clerk every time you go through and say, hi, how are you today? And they don't know that you're a child of God. Yeah, I'm serious. Shame on me, shame on you. If we're going to the same routine, seeing the same people and talking to the same people every day for years and they don't know that you're a child of the Most High God. How are you going to make them want it? I remember several years ago, and those of you that know me very well, and you've probably heard me say this before, but some people say, well, it's just a habit or a line. Well, it is a line, and I've made it a habit in my life. I learned it several years ago in teaching school. One morning, one of the teachers met me in the hallway, or a principal, I don't know who it was, somebody, and said, how are you today? And I started to tell them, and they just kept walking. Well, they don't even want to know. And I learned that about 98% of the world don't really want to know how you are. They don't, you know, that's just a conversation, cliche. How are you today? And just keep walking. And right there, at that very instant, that moment, I purposed in my heart, from then on, when someone said, how are you today? I would say, I am blessed. Because someone questioned me on that later, said, yeah, but you're going through this or that. It doesn't matter. On my worst day, on my darkest day, on the day when everything around me is falling apart, when it looks like my world is crumbling all around me, I am not lying when I say I am blessed. And so I came through the checkout at Walmart, I believe it was, and this has been several years ago, and there was a young man there, and he didn't look like you'd ever even think about him knowing anything about God, church, or a hereafter. I mean, he looked pretty strung out, really. He looked strung out. And he was ringing my stuff up, and he said, how are you today? And I said, I'm blessed. And he just stopped. And he looked at me. I'm thinking he was probably 18, 19 years old. He just stared at me. He said, what did you say? I said, I'm blessed. He said, don't you have any problems? I said, oh, yeah, I got problems. But I'm blessed. The God of heaven is with me and blesses me in everything that I do. He said, is that in the Bible? I said, it sure is. He said, I believe I'm going to have to go home and study that out. I think, well, you go study, buddy. You know? I want to be salty enough. Hey, listen, I don't mind being salty enough that if people wants to, people say, well, I don't agree with that. I say, well, you know what? That's okay. You just go dig it out. Make them look it up. If I can get them, if I can even get them to question the way that they're living, to where that they will search all through the Word of God. Jesus encountered people over and over in the New Testament that when he came face to face with them, he caused them to question where they were at. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, good master, Jesus said, why do you call me good? He began to try to put a question in Nicodemus's mind. See, that's a very good, that's a strategy that I didn't perfect in teaching, but it's a strategy that they try to get you to use, and you know, I was taught to use it to a degree, I just didn't practice it as good as I should. But questioning is a method of teaching. By questioning. And so our saltiness, we should have so much of the salt and the love of God in our lives that it makes those around us question their selves. Makes them question how they're walking. Question where they're walking. And make them desire more. I said they, in India, they're very big on using salt in healing process. Well, God did too. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 21, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. You know that? There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. God even used salt to heal. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Again, back to my beginning question. How salty are you? Now, I've been around some people that I thought they had a lot of pepper in their life. But I wasn't sure about the salt. Because salt will make you desire more. Anybody else ever been guilty of this? Go to the buffet, through the buffet line, eat your meal, decide to go to the ice cream bar and get a dish of ice cream or a piece of cherry cobbler with some ice cream on top of it or apple pie, bring it back and sit down and eat it, and then think, I need to eat something salty now, and run back and get a piece of chicken. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Gary? What is it about that? That salt, even though it causes you to want more, it has a more satisfying effect on you than the sweet does. It'll make you, it'll have a more satisfying effect to go. I mean, you know, I don't know about, I'm not a peanut, pickles and ice cream eater, but I like ice cream and potato chips. What is that? That's that mixture of that sweet and salty. And so God is saying, I am looking for a salty church. I feel like that's what he's saying. I feel like that's what he spoke to my spirit this morning and today. I'm looking for a church. I'm looking for a people that are salty enough that when they walk out those doors, to those that come, they come in contact with, will desire more of me. See, it's not about me. It's about you. And it's not about you. It's about me. It's that effect back and forth. When I begin to think it's all about me, I'm not going to help anybody. And I've learned that more and more over the last several months and the last year, and more in praying. God has to take me to places spiritually and remind me, Jeannie, it's not about you. Whether it's singing, preaching, I've told y'all the story about singing before. If not, I'll tell it again. If I have, I'll tell it again. But right after I first got acquainted with Brenda, and before I even met, well, I had met Gordon, but I just got acquainted with Brenda, and I met Gordon and Linda and Gary. They had kind of, you know, invaded a house, you know, for a few days. We had a good time. But we're newly friends, and when I'd listen to, I'd get on YouTube and listen to Mercy Song Revival, and I'd listen to Brenda sing. And I was sitting on the front porch one day, and I was listening to Brenda sing. And I said, Lord, I wish I could sing like Brenda North. If God ever spoke to my heart before, Brother Gary, he spoke to me and said, I didn't call you to sing. I called her to sing. That is her ministry. I called you to preach, and I let you sing. How's that? Not very good, but I let you because you want to. I let you. But I didn't call you for that. And it's not about what you want to do. How many times have, well, I'm preaching to the choir, I guess, because the ones I'm preaching about probably aren't here, you know, or, you know, they'd be here. But how many times have people got upset, Pastor, because they couldn't do what they wanted to do? And it was not their calling to do it. But we see things, and we see other people, and we desire that. Oh, it looks so good. Man, I love the way they do this. I want to do it just like they do. You know, I tell Brenda, when I grow up, I want to be just like her. You know? But, and so when they can't do what they want to do, then they don't do nothing. If I can't have it my way, you know, this is not Burger King. You can't always have it your way. God just says, I want you to be salty. That's it. If you will fulfill that in your life, Brother Tony, if you will fulfill that requirement in your life to be salt like God wants you to be salt, it will bring about a satisfaction not only for others, but it'll bring back a satisfaction in your life because you will have been fulfilling what God designed for you to do. Anything less than fulfilling God's will in my life or your life will bring about dissatisfaction, unrest, discord, and trouble. Simple fact. But if we can become so immersed in Him that we can really be active, passionate, salt of the earth, I believe we'll see great things. Amen. God bless you.
Woo! Amen.